and they answer those questions on their own and without conferring with each other. And then each episode is the combination of those answers. And it is incredibly heartwarming and sometimes surprising and sometimes very funny about how they react to each other's answers. I mean, without wanting to overplay it, I do think there have been times that through the podcast, people have sort of found a slightly different understanding of each other.
And it had the editor's pick for best innovators. And guess who won, Claire?
Was it True Fans?
It was, we did. Yes, the most interesting experiment in podcast monetization. And if you read the whole thing, it's very, very nice of what they said about us.
Welcome to Creators from True Fans. I'm independent podcaster Claire Waite Brown.
And I'm Sam Seffi, the CEO of True Fans.
Each episode, we'll chat with an independent creator, whether a podcaster or musician, about their creative experiences.
And we'll answer questions from independent creators about the True Fans features that can help them with discovery, interactivity, and monetization.
We'll get interactive and see what our listeners have been saying in the comments and super comments.
And discuss what's happening in the wider world that could be of benefit to independent creators.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Oh, super good. Super good. Yes. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you.
Claire, which independent podcaster are we featuring this week?
This time I'm chatting with Jane Morgan about her podcast called The Friendship File. This time I am chatting with Jane Morgan. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Nice to be talking to you.
And you, start by telling me, please, the name of your podcast and what is it all about?
My podcast is called The Friendship File, and it is amazingly, given the title, all about friendship. It was an idea I had a long time ago. In fact, I tried to sell it as a sponsored podcast years ago, and no one ever bought it, which I thought was a shame. I think it was because I wasn't explaining it very well. But for me, friendship is often a sort of the unsung relationship. You know, we have so many people in our lives, you know, and they all come and go in one way or another. You know, children will leave home and partners aren't always around. Parents move on. And somehow our friends are those consistent bystanders. They are grandstand people. They are playmates. They are witnesses to our lives. You know, once you get to 170 like I am, you know, I have friends that I've known for over 40 years, and that becomes more and more important. And I have always loved the fact that friendship is this incredible sort of jewel that we all have. So I wanted to do something that celebrated friendship. And so the format is that two friends each answer 17 questions about their relationship and about each other. Things like describe the very first moment you remember seeing them, to what is it about them that drives you mad, to have you ever had a fight, to what is their best quality, to talk about a time they ever came through for you, to if they were food, what sort of food would they be? And they answer those questions on their own and without conferring with each other. And then each episode is the combination of those answers. And in fact, somebody told me the other day, they said that my favorite bit of the podcast is when the friends get a chance to hear that edit before the piece goes out. So we also hear how they reacted. And it is incredibly heartwarming and sometimes surprising and sometimes very funny about how they react to each other's answers.
It is very beautiful. I like the bit where they've heard what each other have said as well. And they can sometimes be surprised by what the other person said. It's really a very interesting concept.
It was started off not supposed to be about famous people. You know, we love famous people on podcasts because that increases your downloads and all of that. And I have had some relatively well-known people. But I started off with just my friends and family doing it. And it was never really supposed to be about celebrity. The thing that I've noticed is that, you know, friendships and the nature of friendship doesn't really change even if you're rich and famous. But the thing that has characterized most of the episodes that I've done is that the friends really rarely wildly disagree about anything, in the sense that most of them will remember their first meeting in a similar way. What does sometimes happen, and one of the questions is there anything you ever wanted to apologize for or explain, but you've never got round to it? And that has given some really, really interesting answers. People have brought up things that they genuinely have been hanging on to for a very long time, that they've always said, you know, there was one who said, you know, I always felt that I wasn't there for him during his divorce and he was there for me during mine and I never did enough. People talking about even their school days, two school friends, you know, they're now 60, talking about, you know, I felt that you were teased at school and I sometimes felt that I was part of that. And so what is so interesting is that 9 times out of 10, the person who's hearing that either says, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember this thing that you feel bad about. Or, well, yes, you might have done that, but hang on a second, I did this, and sort of say, listen, we are all in the same boat here. Or they might remember it, but they really, really don't feel that there's anything to apologize for. And I mean, without wanting to overplay it, I do think there have been times that through the podcast, people have sort of found a slightly different understanding of each other. And one of the things that they often say is, we would never talk about this, or we'd never talk like this about each other in normal circumstances. Now, of course, it's a podcast. Let's not get carried away here. This is not couples therapy. People obviously are not probably going to rehearse too many terrible, you know, things. If there is anything really bad, then probably not going to talk about it in a fairly lighthearted podcast. But even so, people, I think, do gain a sort of understanding out of it. And it's an incredible privilege to listen to people talk like that. You can feel them going, my God, this person is really an important part of my life. And I'm so glad that they're here. And, you know, they usually get together afterwards and get drunk or have dinner or, you know, talk about their experiences.
Yeah, well, it gives them a chance to think about and talk about their friendship, perhaps in a way that you don't, as you said, you wouldn't say that to them in real life, but you don't necessarily think that deeply when you're going out together. So speaking of which, and you mentioned counselling, where did the questions come from?
quite a lot out of my own head, just a sort of my own curiosity. I don't know about you, but you know, you have those snapshot moments. I remember when I turned 50, I did a speech and I was surrounded by about, I think, probably 8 or 9 very close friends. And I had certain scenes in my head of the moments that I saw them, or at least the moment. One of the questions is, when did that click happen? That moment that you thought, yes, we are going to be friends. And for me, there was a sort of snapshot of that. So there were things that I wanted to know about other people's relationships. Do they think the same? Are those pictures in their heads? And then the other thing I did was ask people, what kinds of questions would you really like to know? So yes, just natural curiosity of mine and other people's.
Friendship is, of course, a lovely thing. And to have that opportunity to talk about your friendship, I probably wouldn't do it because I'd be too scared. So how have you been finding guests? Are there lots of people that come to you and then they want to do this and go through this kind of exercise?
I think that on the whole, people who say yes are doing it, you know, as the kind of people who are quite happy talking in this way. I have had one quite early friendship where they could not have been more different. In fact, they were friends because they had sort of accidentally ended up in the same house when they were much, much younger and become sort of these rather odd friends, but probably would never have been friends had they met in a different set of circumstances. And one of them is incredibly good at talking and very in touch with her feelings and very able to talk about, you know, her life and how she feels about things. And the other one is 180 degrees the other way. And she really struggled. She wanted to do it. I mean, she could have said no. Of course, anyone could say no. She wanted to do it, but she really worked hard to actually sort of come up with the sort of language and to think about things. So I'm always surprised at how candid people are, actually. But on the whole, as soon as they hear about it, they go, oh, I'd love to do one. And I think it is a bit self-selecting. If it's not your thing, then you won't do it. But on the whole, people, I think, really enjoy the process because they record on their own. And I think that's another thing that makes it quite different. And I encourage them just to talk. The editing issue is mine. Don't worry about that. Just chat. So I think that liberates them. That is quite unusual in any kind of recording or podcasting circumstance. Usually there's someone there, at least just somebody pressing buttons who's going to listen to you. So they don't edit themselves quite as much, which I think is part of why sometimes we get some really good stuff.
Yeah. I've had conversations with other people along those lines in so much as they might act differently in an interview situation if they know it's being videoed and the video is going to be seen. I think that's a similar thing that you're talking about. It feels a bit weird to begin with when you're just talking to yourself.
Yes.
Out loud in a room.
Although I don't know about you, I talk to myself all the time. But anyway, yes, it is a little bit odd.
I don't think I normally do it out loud. That's the thing. But yeah, it's a really good opportunity. You mentioned as well that this had been on the back burner for a while. So when did you actually start it? And how does it fit in with whatever you do in the rest of your life?
Well, that second part is a very, very good question. I am a podcast producer by profession, and this idea had been kicking around in my head for a long time, but I was living in South Africa and was doing other things and doing lots of other media stuff and doing some podcasting, but not huge amounts, and nobody had bought this. So then it was dribbling away. So what happened was that I am from the UK originally, and I came back to the UK at the beginning of 2020, which might ring a bell in your mind. So I arrived to glorious, very good weather because there was no planes in the sky, but not much was happening. And so it was very early on in my time back. I had not really established myself again back in London, although I must admit it was an amazing time to be in podcasting because it went bananas. We got very good at doing this kind of thing, doing remote recording very quickly. And
yeah,
everyone was, they couldn't spend money on an advert or a conference, so they put it into podcasting. So I soon found my feet. But in July the 30th, as I'm sure you know, is International Friendship Day. I don't know. I saw somewhere that there was an International Day of Friendship, but this was about April or so. And I thought, I've had this idea. I've got nothing else that at the moment I'm doing. At least I'll be making a podcast. And so I just started doing it in lockdown and have tried to keep it going ever since. And that, I have to confess, I do go in and out of it. I, at the moment, I'm doing some teaching at Queen Margaret University in Edinburgh. And I was actually talking to students this morning about the energy that it can take to just keep things going. And so often clients will go, oh, well, I think we can take this in-house. And the thing will die after a few weeks or a few months because it takes an enormous amount of consistent energy and focus to keep these things going. So yes, unfortunately, the busier I get, it does dip in and out. But I was determined not to let it actually die because I would be sad because it is a labor of real love. So it goes through certain hiati. It does go through gaps. I did a bit of sneaky encoring over the summer to just another chance to hear, as they say on the BBC. Of course, with podcasts, there's always a chance to hear it, but it was quite nice to sort of relaunch these things. And so, yes, I go in and out, and I try, and when I know that I've got a bit of time that, you know, I'm going to have some spare time, I do try and put them together because they do take up a lot of time because the way that they're spliced together is quite time consuming. And the thing that makes it work, I think, is the way that the answers are juxtaposed. That's still me and audition and a lot of time.
I like the way that you call them encore. I have done that, especially in the summer or December, maybe January. Bring a few more from 5 years ago up the top and you will find that they haven't been listened to because it involves scrolling all the way down to the bottom. So, you know, I've certainly had extra listens to episodes that I've brought up to the top.
100%. It's a way of keeping the feed alive as well as getting some content out there that's got lots of merit, but didn't perhaps get as many listens as you might have wanted it to have done.
Yeah. Let's move on to the world of podcasting. And what is one thing that frustrates you and one thing that excites you about it? And that might be your own podcast. That might be a podcast industry. That might be a wider question. Just hit me.
I suppose frustrating. Is it frustrating? I am currently wrestling with visualization, as we all are. And the trouble is, and I preface everything I'm about to say with this caveat, which is I'm fully aware that there are lots of people who are, let's say, a little bit older, who have probably come from my sort of background. We've come out of public service, BBC broadcasting. There are people who go, there's only one way to do things, and this is not the way to do it. And I really am so desperate not to be one of those people. I have no issue at all with learning to edit video. I'm teaching myself to do that. I enjoy it. I use AI tools. I'm not against any of this. But the only thing I would say is, I think I love doing this because all we have is sound. And You see, I do still like sound like a whole old fart. I haven't quite practiced this enough, but my joy in doing what I'm doing has always been the creation of an experience using sound alone. And I have no objection whatsoever to using pictures. I'm a commercial podcast producer, and therefore I will do it. But I don't love it, and I don't think I ever will. I am sort of in a studio with two people talking to each other. It has its place, but that's not what really scratches my creative itch. So I want this to be over. I want everyone to realize that they don't really need to see people. But having said all that, in terms of what excites me, I am still very excited by the big narrative podcasts that take the world by storm. You know, there is a lot around that you can point to. Something like the War Game, the Sky podcast. I mean, that's a big idea, really well executed. You know, and the big narrative podcasts like the Pitcairn Trials or Kill List. That's an amazing, amazing achievement. And what still excites me is the incredible achievements that people make. The things that they do in terms of storytelling is still the most exciting thing, I think. And then the other thing is that you hear things like, have you heard George's podcast by George the Poet? And Benbrick and him, what they do with audio is mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And it's new. You know, the thing about podcasting is that it has forced audio production to develop. There was a time, and it was a very long time, that the only way to make sort of pre-recorded built programs was the way either the BBC or NPR did it. And podcasting came along and turned that completely on its head. And I love that. I love it.
Going back to the visualizing, it made me think, we don't expect to read books and see pictures. And I love reading books, and nobody says, well, why aren't you visual? Well, they do, they make films. But, you know, if you like reading books, you don't go, oh, I need pictures in this book.
No, no, I know. And that sort of the old truism was, you know, I like radio because the pictures are better. And I'm really not saying that there isn't a place for it.
Yeah.
What I am saying is that I want still to be able to do what I love. The thing that excites me, I don't want that to disappear.
Mm. Now, I'm going to talk about this particular show from a financial point of view. So you produce shows for other people and they pay you to do that, which is lovely. Do you get any kind of financial support for Friendship File?
No, and that is partly my fault. I've never really properly tried.
Mm.
It was never sort of, well, obviously everyone says this, but it really wasn't about that. I don't think I could really make much money off it, but I probably should have a Patreon account. No, is the answer, but that's partly because I haven't been particularly industrious about doing it.
I just wanted to mention, as I do for everybody that I interview on Creators from True Fans, is that while I've been listening to the Friendship File, I have been streaming you some very small payments.
Oh, how exciting.
One of the podcasting 2.0 feature that certain apps like True Fans support that, allow the listener to click on a little icon and say, I would like to pay this show 5 sats, or in True Fans, you can do it in real money as well, small amounts of money in words that you might understand.
Okay.
5 sats per minute. And then for that time, that's what I'm listening to. And you are getting paid that money. And I don't even have to think about it. I just press play. But it all kind of also revolves around you would need to tell your listeners that that option is available.
I can do that.
There you go.
I can do that.
So when you claim your show on True Fans, which you can do by listening to episode 1 of series 2 of Fanzone.
Okay.
You'll get given a digital wallet within True Fans and it'll have a very small amount of money in it from me.
Brilliant. Thank you.
It wouldn't be a lot, but lots of little bits can add up.
Yes, exactly. Tiny acorns, etc.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Jane. It's been wonderful to find out all about the Friendship File and generally your podcasting life. Tell us how people can connect with you.
Okay, so my company is called Podcart, so podcast but with an R. So you can find it very easily on the internet at podcart.co.uk. And also, the Friendship File has its own website. So if you want to get in touch and do a file, then you can do that via the Friendship File website. So yes, just Google The Friendship File or Podcart and you'll find me on both of those.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Claire.
There is a link to The Friendship File in the show notes for this episode of Creators, and new episodes of The Friendship File will magically pop up on the homepage at True Fans.
Like that podcast, by the way. Very cool. Now, if you'd like to explore anything that Jane and Claire talk about in that interview, please leave a comment, or better still, a super comment in True Fans by clicking on the speech bubble icon or the tab called Comments.
And while you're there, if you yourself are an independent podcast creator, why not put yourself forward to be a future guest on Creators from True Fans? If you'd like to chat with us about your independent podcast or your music, send a comment or super comment in True Fans to any Creators episode by clicking on the speech bubble icon or on the comments tab.
Questions, 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 Claire. What do you want to ask me this week?
Hosting again.
Sadly.
It's good. It's all good. But more specifically, how is the listen time dashboard coming along for what, you know, creators who join True Fans hosting are going to be able to see? How's it looking?
It's looking great. I'm really excited. We hopefully will open the doors next week to the first people who are on the wait list. So if you want to join True Fans hosting, there is a wait list. Go to our hosting page and you can sign up. But what's really exciting is what you get from hosts today is a download number. And as we've said in the last couple of shows, what we are aiming for is a play number and also a listen time number. So how many people played your episode and how long did they listen? So that was where we were last time we spoke. But now we can drill down one stage further. So now we can tell you of that listen time and of those plays, how many were on True Fans, how many were on Fountain, how many were on Apple, how many were on Spotify, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we can break it down by app, by plays, by listen time, which is very cool. We can also show you what your top device was. And so again, was it on a Mac? Was it Windows? Was it a Safari browser or a Chrome browser? We can also show you what countries where most your fans are. And we can do that across all apps, not just on True Fans app itself. And that, I think, is very exciting. What it means for you, though, as a creator, is you can start to look at the next stage of what we're delivering, which is a histogram of the actual episode. So at the episode level, you'll get all this data about what's happening, how long people are listening. But inside of that, we're now analyzing, because we stream the data, we don't download the data like other hosts, we can tell you exactly where people are listening and where they drop off. So we could tell you what's the most popular chapter, we can tell you within your episode where most people listened, and we can tell you exactly where everyone dropped off as well. So data, 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 but it's going to be really exciting when people get their hands on it.
Yeah, brilliant. And the book editor part of me especially likes the visual language you've used. It makes analytics a bit less analytical.
Thank you.
Colours and charts and ways that I can see it that make sense to me.
Yes. And I think a little secret here, the actual designer of True Fans, the original designer, has not had their chance to put their hands on this yet. So congratulations to our CTO, Mo, who's done the design so far. But I think when we get a proper design lick of paint, we'll really make it look polished as well.
Okay, Sam, news, events, anything happening?
Yeah, I think a couple of things that independent podcast creators should be aware of. An event you went to a couple of years ago, Podfest, has just published its schedule. The event is January the 15th to the 18th in Orlando, Florida. And alongside it is also the Podcasters Hall of Fame. People may or may not be aware, but Todd Cochran, the CEO of Blueberry, passed away this year, who was in the Hall of Fame and one of the people who started it. So I think there'll be a memorial to him. But there's also some very interesting international people who are going to be added to the Hall of Fame.
And you mentioned I went a few years ago. I actually went last year as well, and I will be there in 2026.
Look at you, you globetrotter.
Booked my flights, reserved my hotel.
Got your factor 50.
Yeah, I didn't need it last year, that's for sure. I will be there again. Looking forward to meeting some of my American podcast pals and lots of new people, hopefully.
Other exciting news, Claire, the podcast show London has just announced their details. They've started to talk about some of the activities and events that will be going on. There will be the ultimate networking party, and they've also just put on sale their day passes. The event, it will be bigger than the last couple of years, and this is now the biggest event in the podcast calendar. There will also be an international stage run by Podimo. Will you be going to this event, Claire?
Of course, of course. By the way, the main event is the 20th and the 21st of May, and I enjoyed last year's European stuff that went on, so I'm excited to hear about an international stage as well. I felt it got a bit more widespread.
The thing is, I still think it's too short. I think it should be over 3 days, not two, but that's just me. But the good news is we will be giving away two tickets on this show nearer the date. So keep your ears peeled.
Woo! Well, go us.
And the rest is the Goal Hanger big production company. So the rest is football, the rest is politics, the rest is entertainment, have announced the rest is Fest in September 2026. That's a long way off, but they've announced it. They will have all of their podcasters live at the South Bank here in the UK. That's going to be a really exciting couple of days. Tickets will go on sale on the 4th of December, and general tickets for people who are not members of Goal Hanger will be on Thursday, the 11th of December. I will be going along to that one. Claire, I hope you'll be coming along with me as well.
Yeah, might do. Never know.
She says, yeah, if I get a free ticket. I think it'll be very exciting. It says 28 shows, 4 stages, 3 days, and it's from the 4th to the 6th of September next year.
Wow, lots of stuff to see.
And finally, we had a wonderful write-up in a great little podcast blog called The Podcast Tech Stack. It's available on Substack. I was reading it not because I knew True Fans was in it. I was reading it because it said hosts of the year and things to look out for in 2026. And it had the editor's pick for best innovators. And guess who won, Claire?
Was it True Fans?
It was, we did. Yes, the most interesting experiment in podcast monetization. And if you read the whole thing, it's very, very nice of what they said about us. So it gave me a little skip in my step as I went to make a cup of tea after that.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Well, well done you. And it's nice to know that other people think we're doing good things as well, not just us.
Yes. Yeah, we better tell the world.
Yeah, that would help, wouldn't it? There's something I wanted to add, if you don't mind, Sam.
Of course.
In episode 5 of Creators from True Fans, I spoke with Fariba Nawa about On Spec podcast. And as a reminder, the global team of investigative reporters behind On Spec work on important stories that they are personally connected to and that do not normally make it to mainstream media. Right now, the team is working on a new series telling the stories of migrant women fleeing conflict, persecution, and poverty, but who are also facing abuse within the immigration system. They are busy collecting audio testimonials, meeting with survivors, gathering court documents and more, and they could really use some funding to help them do this. They have launched a crowdfunding campaign through chuffed.org, and I have popped the link to that in this chapter and also in the show notes. So do please support a fellow independent podcast doing brilliant work out there in the real world.
Sounds like a great cause. Yes, please jump on board to that. And that's it for this week, Claire. Our audio is recorded on Riverside, edited by you, and we're hosted by True Fans.
You can support this show by streaming Sats from your True Fans wallet, or leave us a super comment, or better still, become a monthly supporter of this show.
If you'd like to promote your podcast in this feed, then go to your creator's dashboard, click on the pencil icon next to your podcast, and you'll be able to locate the podcast promotions tab. From there, you can search for Creators from True Fans and send us in a request.
And you can find out more about how to use the features of the True Fans platform by listening to our sister podcast, Fan Zone. And if you're keen to learn more about podcasting 2.0 in general, my course-based podcast called Podcasting 2.0 in Practice is still out there and still very good, in my humble opinion.
'Tis very good, and that's not my humble opinion.
Thank you.